Welcome to the NRV Business Spotlight on the WRAD Talk Network, giving you a closer look at the businesses and employers all across the New River Valley. The program is a service of New River Radio and Digital. Here's your host, New River Radio General Manager, Paul Johnson.
Good morning, welcome, and welcome to Business Spotlight on WRAD and the WRAD Talk Network. I'm Paul Johnson. My guest today is Eric Leuschner. Eric is the owner of Real Property Management. We're going to talk about investment properties around here. That's a very big thing. First of all, Eric, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Let's before we get into, you know, your company and investment properties in general, walk me through your background. How did you get to the lofty position you are now?
Well, it's a long story, but I grew up in Blacksburg, left for college, joined the Army, retired for the Army, and then I worked for Xerox, nothing to do with copiers.
Right.
I worked
That's
on a
the first
a,
thing we all think of.
I worked on a back office project for them, and then I was living up in Northern Virginia, and I kind of wanted to come back home, as many people do.
Right,
and started looking around, and you know. It's Blacksburg, so you know, you pretty much either work for the university or you've got to start your own business.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, to make a short story long, I initially started looking at a franchise opportunity to do garage floors.
Okay.
And which is the company I looked at was called Garage Experts.
I know them.
Yeah, which yep. A friend of mine actually started. But I looked at it and made the decision that, you know, I thought it might be a better idea to manage the properties because
gotcha.
The percentage of rental properties in Montgomery County is pretty high.
Sure.
So I looked around and selected Real Property Management. So we are franchise.
Right.
Although each office is independently owned and operated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, being part of a franchise system is great. You have a big, strong network of people supporting you.
Right.
Both, you know, at the what I call the big RPM, the franchise office, and the other franchise owners across the country are a wonderful resource.
And right, right.
We were able to talk to each other, and it's not a lot of businesses, you know, it's hard to talk to your competition about how you, what you think you should do next in your business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But talking to a peer, if you will, is really nice.
Right.
And so the franchise system's great, and it's very supportive. So I came back and been running, opened the company about 5 years ago, and we're continuing to grow. We're still in growth mode, if
right.
you will.
Right.
We made it over that magic 5 year
yeah.
mark. Right.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
<Yeah.
laughs> It was a long crawl, and but we're still moving forward.
So this is the first time you owned a company.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. So I worked. You know, the Army's like probably one of the biggest corporations in the world, if
sure.
you think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I worked there, and then I worked at Xerox, which is another big company. And, you know, when you're an employee and a, you know, a middle manager like
mm-hmm.
I was, and
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh, I know how to do it better. Those guys don't know what they're talking about. You know, if they
right.
would just listen to me, you know, they'd be making $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's put up or shut up, right?
Right.
There's,
right.
It's time for me to put all those things into practice.
So you have the support of Real Property Management as the big company.
Yeah.
What did you have to learn? I mean, you know, you look back 5 years and kind of synopsize.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what I know now that I didn't know then, as far as running a business.
Yeah. So in terms of running a business, I would say the first year, just break out the checkbook, because all you're going to do is write checks to people.
Right.
Everybody's got their hand out. You know, you got to get this license and that permit, and you know, you're paying rent on an office space,
sure.
and utilities on an office space.
Yep,
and
yep. Before the first customer.
That's
ever.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
So you're shelling out money before you have any revenue coming in,
mm-hmm.
and so just, you know, be prepared for that. Have a war chest, if you will,
right.
and have enough working capital to sustain yourself for longer than you think you need to. I guess I would say whatever you think it should be, you know, add 6 or 8 or 10 months to it.
Yeah.
Because that's probably one of the biggest reasons that small businesses fail is they're undercapitalized, right?
Right.
And the person is they've got a great business idea, they've got a great business, but you know, you got to feed your family while you're doing this. You got to pay your mortgage or your rent.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
And put food on the table. So all that's going on, and there's no paycheck coming in for
right.
for the.
Well,
first
I'm always
bit.
Fascinated the philosophy and the you know a kind of gumption of somebody who says, you know, I'm going to start my own business. How long was it before you thought, okay, this is starting to work here?
Yesterday.
Congratulations. Thanks. You came in on a good
note. No, it's, you know, that about 3 years in, you know, I felt pretty comfortable. You know, that, like I was saying earlier, you know, if you study or look at, you know, small business.
Right.
Stuff management, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah,
you know, 5 years is kind of the threshold, right?
Right.
Most small businesses will fail within the first 5 years or make it. So once you get over that 5 year hump, you're kind of established,
right?
But yeah, about the you know the first year, first 18 months, I was like, oh my god,
what am I doing?
Right? You know, it's just like you're putting more and more money into the company,
right?
Nothing's coming out the back end,
mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you just got to stick with it and work hard.
Well, you have to have that firm belief that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
This will eventually, you know, we have a good product.
Yeah.
As soon as, you know, people know about us, we're going to succeed.
Right. And I think, you know, networking is probably the biggest key to success.
Sure.
And networking as a part of marketing, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
You know that expression, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, so if you open a business and nobody knows about it,
that's
then
right.
no one's going to come knock on your door.
Sure.
And don't skimp on the marketing.
Right.
And, you know, pump as much money as you can into that and so people know you're there. You spend it wisely, you know, that you'll hear people say, oh, you should spend, you know, X percent of revenue
right.
on marketing. And it's like, okay, well, oh, so if I spend this many dollars, then I'm going to make it, right? It's like, no. You know, if you take out ads in the newspaper these days, you're not doing anything.
Right,
I mean, nobody's
right.
reading the newspaper. Now, if you're on radio,
yeah,
then, sure you're gonna make sure. It. So,
well, let's talk about the company, Real Property yeah. Management. This is Eric Leuschner, the owner. Property management, right there in the name. Give me a global perspective of what your company does.
So we manage properties, mm-hmm. As the name would imply. We work with two types of main clients. We call the investor client and the accidental landlord.
Okay.
And I've kind of coined a third term that I call the geographical landlord. So an accidental landlord might be somebody who's had a family member die and leave them a property.
Right.
Or perhaps it's two people get married and they both have a house and now they've got an extra house.
Sure.
Something along those lines. So that's an accidental landlord. They didn't really plan on doing this.
Yeah. Yep.
An investor landlord would be what that implies. It's somebody that's decided that they're going to use rental properties as an investment vehicle, just as if instead of buying stocks or bonds or
right.
whatever else, they're
going
to invest in rental properties. And the term I use is the geographical, which is kind of a subset of the accidental. So if you're, you know, particularly in Blacksburg at Virginia Tech, you'll have, say, a professor that gets a promotion, which means a transfer to another university.
Mm-hmm.
And they are like, oh, man, I really love Blacksburg. I want to come back here sometime, or I may get reappointed at Virginia Tech, so I'm going to go ahead and hold on to this house,
right?
Because you know, with Blacksburg real estate, you may not be able to afford it in 5 years.
Yeah, that's right.
So I call those the geographical landlords,
right?
And you know, each type has a different concern,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, obviously the investor landlord, he's in this to make money,
right?
And so you know, they that's what they're looking at. Those accidental landlords, it's they don't want to lose money, obviously, and they don't want this to cost them something, but their concern is more preserving the property, perhaps,
right?
Like it, maybe it's the ancestral home, if you will.
Sure.
You know, so it's been, you know, great grandfather built it, and it's passed down, but that person, you know, they're not living there for whatever reason, right? And so they, you know, their concerns are a little bit different,
right? So from an investor standpoint, is it still a good time? Is it never not a good time? I mean, we know property values are way up there right now. Interest rates are high. But in a town like Blacksburg, where you know you're going to have renters looking.
Right. Yeah. You know, if you look at things historically, right? So, you know, look at the stock market. Over time, it's increased,
right?
And real estate is a long-term investment.
Yes, right.
And what I tell our clients is, you need to think of this as you're opening a little business, and your business is going to make money in the long term,
right?
But there will be years when your business loses money, and you need to be prepared for that.
Sure.
The other thing is with real estate. A lot of people look at the cash flow, right? My mortgage is $1,000, so I have to get, you know, $1,100 a month in rent, or else I'm not making any money.
Right.
Right. So that's cash flow. You can be in a negative cash flow situation. So say your mortgage is $1,000, but you're only getting $900 in rent, but you're still making money.
Right.
Right.
Because you're getting the equity of the.
You're building equity. You're getting tax advantages. And the property's appreciating, right? So you got to, just like, you know, I was saying before opening this business, you got to bear through the lean times and look at the big picture and say, okay, this is long-term wealth,
right?
This is not you know, something I'm going to, it's not going to the casino, right?
Right.
Or lottery.
Or strike it rich
next month.
Hey,
yeah.
Had a great month.
So you got to have a long-term viewpoint with investing in property.
Right. So all three of those kind of different sort of scenarios that you listed for us, the one thing they all have in common is what they don't think of before they either invest or say, we're going to keep this property. And that's where you come in. That's where real property management comes
in. And there's a lot of, you asked me earlier about what I what I didn't know, or what I had to learn, right? So we talked about what I had to learn as being a businessman, but you know what I had to learn as being a property manager. It was amazing. I would go to classes and seminars, and I do a lot of training, and because there's a lot to know, you don't know what you don't know when you first start out in this business, and it is very, very easy to run afoul of law and do something, you know, very inadvertently to a tenant that's
illegal.
You know, it's like black letter law, right? It's in it's called the Virginia Residential Landlord Tenant Act.
Okay.
And that governs rental properties to residents,
right.
as opposed to commercial. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's some things spelled out very specifically in there. And unless you've read it and understand it, it's very easy to do something that you're not supposed to do.
Right.
You know, some people, and this may be an extreme example, but, you know, they'll turn off the electricity to the property, or they'll turn off the water to the property,
right?
Or they'll change the locks on the property because the tenant has not paid the rent. And they call that a self-help eviction. And the judge will frown upon you most severely.
Right. You're not just providing the service of, you know, rent and general maintenance, I assume.
Yep.
We'll get into that. You're a consultant to these people.
Absolutely.
As well.
That's you know, I've never had somebody use that term, but that is a perfect way to describe this. what we do, and we're here to, you know, we're here to make you money. We're here to keep you out of trouble,
right?
And keep ourselves out of trouble, right?
But we all need somebody like right? that in our lives.
And so. And so yeah, we do consult, and I think a big part of what I do and part of what I enjoy doing is educating the owner clients, right?
Right.
And, mm-hmm. and explaining to them, yeah, I know that sounds like a great idea. And I'd love to do it, but we can't.
Right.
Right. Along those lines, we do an investment seminar once a month in Blacksburg. And it's people that are interested in investing in real estate as an investment, rental properties,
right?
Because there's a lot of ways to invest in real estate.
Yep.
But this is specifically, you know, we're working at a little bit lower level here, and we're talking about people that own, you know, the few properties, and they want to get some advice, and we give the advice, you know.
So it's once a month? Is it same time, same place?
Once a month. Usually the second the second Thursday of the month at Bull and Bones in Blacksburg.
Okay.
We do have a Facebook page for the group. NRV Real Estate Investment.
Right, right.
And we always post it on there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always find our webpage and send us a message through there, and we'll get to you. And
terrific.
Send you. Yeah. Everybody's welcome. Free food and drink.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And free advice for whatever that's worth.
That's true. Well, let's. This is Eric Leuschner. He's the owner of Real Property Management in Blacksburg. Again, we talked about those consultative services to lease development. You know, again, as a property owner who, I think I'm going to rent this out. I know nothing about leases.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. A lot of what you do as a property manager is... it's contracts.
Right? Mm-hmm.
It's contract law.
Right.
Now, I'm not an attorney.
Yeah.
And we use an attorney to make sure that we're doing everything correctly.
Right.
But a lease is a contract.
Yes.
Right. It's a binding contract.
Yep. Yep.
Between the owner, or who's referred to as the landlord, and mm-hmm. and the person that lives there, who's legally called the tenant, and it's a contract between them. And you're laying out, I'm going to give you this, and in exchange, you're going to give me money, basically, right?
Right?
You're going to give me something of value back,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to let you stay in my house. And, you know, going back to what we talked about earlier, that's part of the education with the owners, the landlords, is that you're giving up some rights to your property
sure.
when you lease this.
Absolutely.
Like you do not have a right to go into that property whenever you want, even
right.
though it's your property.
Mm-hmm.
You signed a contract with this person, and you're giving them the right to live there. And,
right.
And you know, legally, it's called quiet enjoyment, right? So you can't just go over there once a week and knock on the door and say, hey,
right.
I want to come in and make sure my house is in good shape.
Right. Are you consulting on maybe what they should or could reasonably charge for monthly rent?
Yeah. So we're a full service management company.
Okay.
When you sign up with us, there's a very high level of trust involved.
Mm-hmm.
What we're setting up is not so much an employer-employee relationship. It's you're hiring us to do a job. So, you know, not to put myself on the same plane as a doctor, but you go right. to the doctor and you're like, I'm sick. And the
yes.
doctor says, do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're
that's
trusting
what you do,
that
you,
advice.
Right, you do yeah. or don't. And that's the relationship you're setting up with us. We're the experts, and you're coming to us for advice. So, you know, in terms of rent, when we go to set the rent, we use a couple of different methods, and we look at a couple of sources, and we do a market analysis, and we look at the historic trends, and we look at what's currently on the market, and we come up with a number.
Right.
You know, there's a balancing act. So, you know, if you rented a property for $100, you'd rent it in a day, right? But
yeah.
you'd lose a lot of money.
Sure, sure, sure.
If you rent it for $10,000, if you can get a tenant, you're going to make a bunch of money, but it's going to sit empty there for a while.
Right.
And I'm making an exaggerated...
But you have the perspective of what the market bears and you know, comps and things like that.
Exactly, yeah. So we live and breathe it every day. You know, I'm looking at what's on the market. I know what I'm renting properties for, you know, similar properties. So we know what's going on out there.
Right.
And, you know, for instance... you know, in Blacksburg for the past 5 years, we've seen these dramatic, we've seen, you know, 10, 15, 17% year over year rent increases on the college rentals.
Right.
That didn't happen this year. There were a bunch of new properties that were built in Blacksburg, and, you know, there was about 3,000 new bedrooms on the market for this rental cycle.
Yeah.
And we weren't getting the prices we were getting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a very difficult conversation with owners.
Right.
But, you know, because we know what's going on, we're able to say, look, we're not getting the rents. We're not going to get the rents we got last year. And here's why. And... in Blacksburg with college rentals, you know, if you don't have a tenant in there by August, it's going to sit empty for a whole year.
That's right.
And so, you know, one in the hand's worth two in the bush.
Yeah.
I always say, you know, $10 is better than no dollars.
Right.
Right.
So
we adjusted, we got everything rented. And, but if you look, there's still stuff out there and a lot of it's out there at last year's prices. And, you know, I had a couple of people call and like, hey, I can't get my house rented this year. Can you help me out? And, you know, I explained to them what was going on. And I said, I'll be glad to try and help you.
Right.
And the person wanted to, he said, well, are you going to guarantee to rent it? And I was like, no, absolutely not. I cannot guarantee that I'll get a tenant, but I will try my best.
Yeah.
And so... You know,
is that part of your service to market these properties?
Oh, absolutely.
As well?
Absolutely. Yep. So let me just give you a quick rundown kind of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, big level of trust. So we're going to sign this management agreement. You're going to give us the keys. We're going to get your property ready to go on the market. We're going to take a look at it. We're going to tell you, hey, these are some things you have to fix. There's safety issues, code violations, that type of thing.
Yep.
Here are some things that if you want to spend some money, maybe we'll get a little bit more rent or we'll get it rented a little quicker.
Okay.
We take all the pictures. We use professional real estate photographers to take the marketing photos. We do our little write-up, you know, beautiful house in the country.
Yes.
We show the property to all the prospective tenants, process the applications. We do background checks. Which is something, you know, as an independent landlord, you don't really have access to, right? So we have account with Experian and all those TransUnion.
Yeah.
So we're able to run a credit check and a background check. And we do that. And then, of course, we get the lease signed. We collect the rent. We handle any maintenance issues that arise while the tenant's in place. And then we'll either renew the lease or find another tenant.
Right.
And that's kind of the life cycle, if you will, of the rental property.
So it's absolute peace of mind. At
Absolutely.
Least that's what it appears to me, is that you're right. Trust, I'm handing this property over to you, and then I don't have to worry about it.
That's right. We say you can own the home and not the hassle.
Right.
And we have clients, numerous clients that are overseas. They're not in the country.
Sure.
And we talk to them on the phone or email them. And basically we send them a check every month. And that's the extent of their involvement.
Right.
And that's fine. You know, there's some people, like we talk about those investor clients, right? If you invest in Coca-Cola, you're not going down to Atlanta to screw bottle caps on the tops of the bottles, right? You're like, here's my $100, give me back $150, right?
Yeah.
So that's the investor client, right?
And right.
So they don't want to be involved in this. If they wanted to be involved in it, they wouldn't have hired us. But that accidental landlord and his great-grandfather's house, and, you know, there's
they didn't
sentimental
sign up for
value, there's, like, concern, and those types of owners are a little bit more involved, and that's fine as well.
Right.
I have no problem. You know, we'll talk to you. We'll, you know, I want to make you feel comfortable. Again, it's a trust situations.
Right.
We want to be comfortable with each other.
So what do I mean? What common things do people not think of? Let's say we have a little bit of extra income. Let's invest in another property. Never done it before. Right. What are we not thinking of?
You make sure you, again, just like we talked about before, is you have an operating fund, right? So what are you going to do when I call you on Monday morning, like, hey, the water heater just went out.
Yep.
I need $1,800 to put a new water heater in.
Mm-hmm.
Or even worse, you know, it gets to be summer and they turn on the air conditioner and it's like, hey, Paul, I need a check for $5,000. So we can put a new air conditioning system in your property.
Right. So just like your own home, you've doubled the perspective things that could go wrong on a daily basis.
Exactly.
I mean, I hate to be that pessimistic.
That's absolutely how you should think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, goes back to my comment of you're running a business, essentially.
Yeah.
If your HVAC system has to be replaced for you know, $3,000-$5,000, you're probably not making any money that year. Cash flow wise, right?
But still look down the road.
You're going to have your appreciation and you're going to have your appreciation and your growth and all that, but when you look in your bank account, it's lower at the end of the year than it was.
And you have to be prepared for something like that could and probably will eventually happen.
Right.
Of course it will.
And, you know, we talked about, you know, some of the legal aspects. So, you know, a landlord has a legal responsibility to provide hot water in the house.
Mm.
If the house is rented with air conditioning, then the air conditioning has to work. However, if it's winter, regardless, there has to be heat in the house.
Right.
That is required by law. You know, as a landlord, it's not optional. You can't say, well, I don't have the money.
Right.
Because you signed a contract and you now have a legal obligation, just like the tenant does to pay rent. You have a legal obligation to provide them what they call a habitable dwelling.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to look at you and say, I feel for you.
Right.
But if we can't get this fixed, we're going to have to put this person in a hotel.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to pay for it.
Right. Well, and then there's just the general upkeep as well, because having had a daughter that went to Virginia Tech and lived in several different places and moving her in and out was always like, what happened here in the last year? You know, I mean, there's that as well.
Yeah,
replacing carpeting, painting, things like that.
Right. You know, and you know, there's a misconception, I'll call it, out there that, you know, the tenant's going to pay for that out of their security deposit.
Right.
And there was an interesting, it wasn't a case, but there was a lawsuit filed in Colorado. It was in Boulder, which is a college town in Colorado.
Yep.
And it was against this huge management company about some of their practices around move-outs and what they were charging tenants for. And it never went to court, but the Attorney General of Colorado wrote an opinion, I guess you would call it. And there's some very interesting things, and that company ended up paying like $2.5 million in fines and restitution, plus a bunch of training, and the state's going to come in and look at their books for the next 5 years, you know. Let's just take for example a carpet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have a carpet and it gets damaged. You can't legally charge a tenant for the cost of a new carpet if that carpet's 5 years old.
Right.
It depreciates.
Right.
Carpet wears out over time. That's just what carpet does.
Yeah.
And so you can charge them a portion of that.
Right.
But if it's a 5 year old carpet, you have to depreciate it by 5 years, and then they're going to pay whatever's left,
right?
And you've got to cover the rest of it.
This is why I'm paying you, Eric.
Right.
I mean,
I've
got to know these things.
People, you know, trying to keep the tenants educated as well. You know, the owners are our clients, and you have to be a licensed real estate agent to do professional property management in Virginia. So I have a real estate license. And that implies certain things that I owe my clients,
yeah,
right?
Right.
But I look out for their best financial interests.
Mm-hmm.
But the tenants are my, I call them customers, just to differentiate that client agent relationship.
Yep.
So we want to take care of the tenant also, and
right.
and we
keep the customers happy.
And we don't manage anything I won't live in.
Right.
Right. So if you're the type of landlord that doesn't want to keep their property up, then we're not going to be a good fit.
Right.
This is a long-term relationship.
It is.
And if you don't like me and I don't like you, then it's not going to work. And so taking care of the tenant has financial benefits to the owner, right? When a tenant moves out, you incur costs.
Right.
So, you know, if a tenant's in there for 5 years, you're probably not going to have to go in and do any spot painting or anything like that.
Right.
But when they move out, you do.
Yeah.
Right. Plus, you have the time that the apartment's vacant. And you have the cost of marketing right. the property and finding
so you'd rather
tenant.
Have that tenant in long term, keep them
exactly.
happy, have
exactly.
them love their landlord,
yep.
so they don't want to
exactly. You know, and yeah. and the other thing we found if the tenants submit a maintenance request, and let's say it's a dripping faucet,
okay,
not a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not really hurting anybody. If you just ignore that, if we ignore that as the property manager, that sends a message to the tenant
yeah.
that we don't care about the property.
Right.
And so if we don't care, why should they care?
Yeah.
Right? So if we stay on top of the maintenance, we keep it maintained, A, it's good for the property. B, it makes the tenant happy. So when it comes time to renew, they're going to renew and not turn around and go find another place to live because
yep.
they can't get the faucet fixed.
Yeah. Fascinating conversation. We could go on all day, but we're running out of time. This is Eric Leuschner. Real Property Management is the name of the company. Website address, Eric,
we can
learn a little bit more?
Yeah, we're www.insightrpm.com.
Okay.
You can reach us 540-998-6917. We do free assessments. If you have a property that you're thinking about renting, give us a call. We'll be glad to come out and take a look at it for you.
Beautiful.
Have this conversation like I just had with Paul about, you know, what you can expect.
Yeah.
And we're looking to meet people.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Eric Leuschner, Real Property Management in Blacksburg. Fascinating conversation. Again, if you want to learn more, Google Real Property Management Blacksburg and you'll find out exactly how to get in touch with Eric. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Business Spotlight on WRAD.